I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together,
we're Roman Oz.
Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out, romanoz.com.au.
So, Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well, Lynn, we're starting off in Port Macquarie.
Oh, nice.
It's a beautiful coastal town on the it's the mid-north coast of New South Wales.
Yes, correct.
And I'll be chatting with a lady that has been nicknamed Mrs. Tourism.
Oh, okay.
In Port Macquarie.
So she knows everything that's going on.
Everything and anything about Port Macquarie. Jeanette Hyde is the lass, okay? Now, she's been living in Port Macquarie for a long time, and she will tell you in this little chat that we do, lots of things to see and do in Port Macquarie.
Great. Sounds fantastic.
It does. Now, including that, also Port Macquarie, or before Port Macquarie, actually, there's Ricardo's.
The tomato and strawberries.
Now, Tony is the owner of that, the Ricardo's. Now, we've been there before, haven't we?
Oh, yes, we have, and we've picked strawberries.
Yes, we have.
And bought their delicious tomatoes.
Okay, and you know, the best thing about Ricardo's is it's not designed for people to have to work because the strawberries aren't on the ground.
No, they're not.
Neither are the tomatoes.
Well, you don't pick the tomatoes, but you pick the strawberries.
I know, but the thing is, the strawberries, they're
Hydroponically
grown.
Yep.
And
you don't need to bend your back.
You don't need to bend your back. And you know, the best thing about this is I don't know who has more fun, the kids or the grown-ups or the grandparents.
I don't know.
What do you think? Because every time we've been there, and we've been there a few times, the place is always crowded.
Yep, it is.
And apart from the fact that they've got strawberries to pick, they've also got a great little restaurant there.
Yes, and wonderful sauces and chutneys to buy, and of course tomatoes to buy.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And also, if you've got a big rig, don't worry about leaving it at the campsite. If you want to call in on the way through, either way, lots of space to park caravans there. And even on the side of the road.
Yep.
Everywhere. No problems there. Now, after that, I'll be chatting with Mr. Jeff Diath from Checkweight.
Mm-hmm.
And this week, he's going to tell us all about toe ball weights.
Okay. Interesting.
Very interesting subject. A lot of people don't realise that once you put your toe ball on your the weight from your caravan onto your toe ball, how much it transfers onto your rear axle.
Didn't know that.
There's a real science to it. If you've got a 300 toe ball, it's going to put 450 on your rear axle, approximately. Did you know that?
No.
Well, Jeff's going to tell us all about that. Now, apart from all these fantastic interviews with these incredibly interesting, lovely people, we've also got a great selection of music
as requested by the people we interview.
So, what do you reckon, Lynn?
On with the show.
How are you today, Jeanette?
Well, I'm wonderful, Phil, and I'm certainly hoping that most of our businesses are feeling exactly that.
Well, look, the tourist trade has taken quite a sledging, as we all know, as a result of the COVID situation. You're the president in Port Macquarie of the Tourist Association. How's it affected you guys in Port Macquarie?
Well, it's actually decimated our whole region.
Right.
And I think what we're talking about is that it started off with bushfires, and we were the first to have a bushfire in the July of that year.
Right.
And it just kept going. And by Christmas, the bushfires had surrounded the town virtually, and a lot of people were impacted on.
Yes.
And then we had a drought.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the floods where many of our businesses were totally flooded out.
Right.
It was over a 100-year flood.
Yes.
And then we had COVID. And once COVID came, it just didn't seem to end. We'd get out of it and then go back in. And we only came out of lockdown a week ago.
Wow.
Because we had a traveller from Sydney.
Yeah.
And many of those businesses found it really hard to cope with, especially the short notice, because they'd be prepared for the trade, a restaurant, with lots of bookings. And then it was soul-destroying because they had to close down and there was nowhere to put the food.
Yes.
So everyone, I'm sure, is really happy. Today is a red letter day for our region.
And you, there's over 240 related businesses that the
Tourism Association sort of represents. Is that correct?
That's right. And we're an advocate for those businesses, whether it's advocating, you know, what information that they need,
yes,
particularly with these grants that were available,
mm-hmm,
helping them with things that they might like to manoeuvre with council for various things.
Yes.
The publicity, like we have network nights and we get together. It's trying to make us a strong industry, and we are.
Yes.
So it's really great to have that many members in our association.
Yeah. And I guess the thing is, it's so important that everybody, you know, rallies and stands together, because it's all about community, isn't it, really?
It sure is. And it's good you mentioned community, because mm-hmm, that's what we've been talking about recently.
Yes.
We have so many things that are on offer in our region.
Okay.
The diverse range of activity is amazing.
Right.
And we tend to not visit them. Like, we live here.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't go to, you know, Billabong Zoo, because you can go down to Geelong Park Zoo or okay, something like that.
Yep.
So we've been trying to encourage our locals to go to that restaurant that you don't normally go to, go to that attraction.
Yes.
To hop on the boat on mm-hmm, the river. You know, because we don't do it. We actually go on holidays and go to everyone else's activity.
Yeah, that's a strange thing, isn't it? Because, like, Port Macquarie is such a beautiful place, and in tourist times, school holidays, yeah, Christmas time, you get, ordinarily, you would get flooded with tourists coming there, but the locals that are there, they don't really appreciate what they've got in their own backyard, because what you said, you've got the Billabong Zoo, yet people will travel to Sydney to go to the Taronga Zoo. And you've got this, you've got so many great water, like you've got cruise boats, whale watching, dolphin watching, and you get the tourists come through, which is great, but unfortunately, under the circumstances at the moment, and the locals, they support them, but not the way the tourist trade would support them and keep these guys afloat and making successful businesses.
And that's what we're trying to encourage, because yeah, we actually, when we've got visitors to Port Macquarie,
yes,
we take them on the whale watching boat, or mm-hmm, we take them out to Miss Nellie's Cafe, all those things, mm-hmm, but we tend not to do it ourselves.
So
we've been encouraging our locals to support our locals. And through COVID, that's been particularly helpful.
That's fantastic. That is a fantastic thing. So if people were to come, once the COVID situation, and it looks like there is light at the end of the tunnel now, they're talking about, you know, 1st of December, even people that haven't been vaxxed are allowed to come and do things, and I hope to goodness that we don't end up with another problem. And if you do get lots of tourists coming through your town, what are the sorts of places and things to see, must see and do things in Port Macquarie for the listeners?
Okay, so we've got some novel things, mm-hmm, that, particularly when we're talking about producers and providers, and we're talking about the strawberry farm, and where you can go out and cook, pick your own strawberries, and they grow beautiful tomatoes,
okay,
and they make tomato relish and this sort of thing. So you've got that. You've got a place in town called The Other Chef.
Yes.
And that's all they sell is local produce.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some great coffee makers in our region. We have lots of markets selling fresh food. We mm-hmm, have a chocolate place out at Bago Winery, Squeaky Gate Farm Shop. There's just so many things,
yes,
to do as far as produce.
Yes.
But go back to your wineries, mm-hmm, and we've got five beautiful wineries in very short distance of Port Macquarie. Famous Casa Green, we've got Bago Winery, we've got Long Point, we've got Douglas Vale. So you've got these wineries that produce their own wine, and you go and have a wine tasting.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular, they've all got their own add-ons, which Long Point often does entertainment.
Right.
Bago Maze has a Bago Winery has a maze.
Mm-hmm.
And Casa Green has a beautiful restaurant. So, you know, you've got added extras when you do that food and wine culture that we've got going.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you were talking about the strawberries and tomatoes, that's Ricardo's, isn't it?
It is Ricardo.
Yes, okay, because I have spoken with Anthony, Tony, I think his name is.
Yes, it is Anthony, yes. Yeah,
yes, well, so I've had a bit of a chat with Anthony, and what an amazing place that is. And I said to him, "What, you know, who gets the most fun, the kids picking the strawberries or the grandparents or the parents seeing how much fun the kids are having picking the strawberries?" And he said, "You know what? Everybody that comes here has fun because the grandparents are just in awe of seeing their little kiddies picking up those beautiful strawberries that he's got out there. That's an amazing setup." And
it is, and it's so easy to do. It's all hydroponics, mm-hmm. so you're not having to bend down and pick them up. You're
yes.
picking them off the vines.
That's
and-
right.
They're just beautiful.
Absolutely. And the thing is, too, it's all undercover. So even if it's a bad weather day, this is for the benefit of the listeners, if it's a bad weather day, it doesn't mean you can't go there because it's all undercover. You can go there and you can pick your strawberries. And they do have a beautiful restaurant there where, they, as you said, they sell their jams and their relishes and so on and so forth. So Ricardo's is definitely a place to visit if you're in this area. And
it's always on my itinerary.
Oh, look, absolutely, absolutely. Now, I've never been to Billabong Zoo, so have you been there yourself, Janet?
Many times, mm-hmm. and Mark is a fantastic operator. Mm-hmm. He's very much into preserving wildlife.
Yes.
But the wonderful thing about the experience at the zoo is you're up close and personal with the animals.
Okay.
Sometimes you go to a zoo and you're not close to them.
Yes.
But you can actually be really close to the lions and the leopards and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually feed them.
Wow.
You walk through the kangaroo enclosure.
Yes.
But it's just lovely. And they've got some unusual animals there. And mm-hmm. it's just a day that the kids can enjoy, but adults can enjoy it as well.
Of course, of course. And another really beautiful place that holds a big place in my heart is the Koala Hospital.
Yeah, the Koala Hospital is very special.
Oh, very special.
And they're going
place.
Through a transformation at the moment, Bill.
Okay.
They've actually got some grant funding to actually rebuild it.
Okay.
And they're looking to have overhead walks that you can walk through the hospital
mm-hmm.
and actually see what's going on.
Okay.
It's just fantastic what the volunteers do up there.
Well, I was going to say that because that place is primarily all run by volunteers, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Now, you yourself, you're a volunteer, aren't you?
I am a volunteer. That's how I'm with tourism. But I volunteer for lots of other things
yes.
as well. But obviously tourism is my passion.
That's your passion. And obviously Port Macquarie is your passion. Well, listeners, we're just going to take a short break from Jeanette Hyde. And I'm going to play you a song by Russell Morris. Yeah, the song I've selected is a number called Wings of an Eagle. And you never know, listeners, you might be lucky to see a beautiful eagle soaring across the magnificent Hastings River there in Port Macquarie. So I'm going to play this track for you right now and we'll be back with more of Jeanette Hyde straight after this.
Well, I'm looking out on an overcast sky in the morning. I can hear the warning as it calls to you. As the birds migrate and the wind is raised, I see the eagle soaring. Although I'm just a pawn in nature's game like you. Wahoo, wahoo. Changing of the seasons and the falling autumn.
they bring me down. They bring me down. They bring me down.
Have you been in Port Macquarie, Janet? Were you born there? Have you lived there all your life?
No, we've been in Port 45 years, and it's a place I never want to move from.
Okay.
It's just got so much on offer. I always think, because I came 45 years ago,
mm-hmm.
it was like a quaint country town.
Yes.
And even though we've expanded, I still think we've got that same attitude. So our locals are very friendly to our visitors,
mm-hmm.
And it's just a nice place to walk along the breakwalk.
It is.
To do the coastal walk. The coastal walk is nearly our number one attraction on TripAdvisor.
Wow. Yeah, look, Port Macquarie is a magnificent place, and various types of accommodation too in port, isn't there, for the travellers? You've got a beautiful caravan park there that's situated right on the breakwall. And then
we have.
What other styles of accommodation have you got? You'd have some hotels in there. I think I know you've got one at Flynn's Beach as well as one in the middle of the city as well of Port Mac.
There's lots of apartments in Port Macquarie, which is great for the families. But we've got Ridges and we've got Sales and we've got the Observatory. But we've also got boutique accommodation like Telegraph Retreat at uh-huh. Tully Point, which yes. is a little bed and breakfast. So we have a huge variety of accommodation that will suit anybody.
Okay. So everybody's taste and everybody's budget and everybody's needs.
Exactly.
Yep. And it's all happening in Port Macquarie. Well, it will be soon. Let's keep our fingers crossed, Janet, that, you know, we've sort of at that point now where we're allowed to go out and start doing things, and hopefully people will be sensible about it and we can start enjoying our life again instead of feeling as if we're locked inside a glass bubble.
And that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And Phil, with our region, we've got an aqua park that the kids can go to. We've got the helicopters. We've got horse riding on the beach.
Yes.
We've got surf schools.
Yes.
We've got putt-putt. We've just got so much more everybody to do.
Okay. And I guess the best thing to do, how do the listeners find out about all these things? For people that are coming to Port rather than once they arrive there so they can plan in advance, is there a website that the listeners could go straight to or something?
Yes, they can.
Yes.
If they go to www.portmacquarieinfo.com.au,
yes.
It actually has an accommodation element to it,
mm-hmm.
an attractions element.
Right.
Letting you know what's coming up for the month, all of that sort of thing. So that's portmacquarieinfo.com.au.
Okay, that's the one. That's the one you have to do, listeners, if you're interested in going to Port and finding out in advance, because it does get very popular at Port Macquarie under normal circumstances, doesn't it?
It does, and it depends what's happening. We've got the wonderful Glasshouse, and they have fantastic shows, which are starting to come back now.
That's brilliant.
And we've also got lots of heritage. So, you know, we've got something for everybody in our region.
I think it's amazing what you're doing, Janet. You're a volunteer. I'm not going to say how old you are because a man never divulges a lady's age, but I know you're retired. And I also know that you used to work at Port RSL.
Port Macquarie Panthers.
Yes, Port Macquarie Panthers. And you used to be in charge of entertainment there. So what was that like? Like, to be in charge of entertainment and now you're really looking after the tourism side, you would have seen some great entertainers and stars come through when you're booking your entertainment.
I sure did. And really, it goes across the whole gambit, whether it's Midnight Oil or 1927 or Gene Pitney or John Williamson.
Yep.
You go across it, and I booked that band into our club because we moved from in town and had a big auditorium, and we built another auditorium out at the new location so we could take 1,000 people. So it was the venue to go for a fantastic show. And I've been very fortunate to have met a lot of wonderful entertainers.
And you've retired from that now, but you haven't really retired. You're still volunteering. Look, I've spoken to a few people before I decided to give you a call, and affectionately you're known as Mrs. Tourism. Would you agree with that, Mrs. Tourism?
Yes, I would think that.
Yes.
So, because I've been involved with the association for over 30 years, and I've been president this run for about 12 years. So, you know, it is who I am, I'm really passionate about our businesses that are in our region.
Yes. Of course. So Mrs. Tourism and also the unofficial mayor of Port Macquarie. You're not employed, but these are the sorts of things that have been coming in. I asked a few people about you before I chatted because I've not met you. Well, I did meet you very, very briefly one night at the club when you had some entertainment on, and they said to me, talking with Janet, she's such a beautiful, lovely, lovely person, and your husband Alan. They mentioned Alan. He's involved with Lifeline.
He's my rock.
He's my rock. Yep, and he's involved with Lifeline. So
yes, he is.
You guys, you know, you're not letting numbers slow you down by the sound of it, because I do know what age group you're in, and I do know you've been retired for a while, but retirement doesn't seem to mean anything where you and Alan are concerned and Port Macquarie's concerned.
No, and I think that's the case of a lot of people.
Yep.
Once they retire, they want to give back to the community, and that's certainly what we enjoy doing.
Fantastic. Well, you keep doing what you're doing, Janet, because what you're doing is magnificent. This is the opinion of the people that contacted me and said, you know, you have to talk to Janet. She's such a wealth of information, which you are, and your passion and love for Port Macquarie, you're going to be remembered for an awful long time when, you know, it finally comes for you to fly with the angels, my dear. So thank you so much for your time today and telling our listeners all about the wonderful things to see and do in and around Port Macquarie. It's been my absolute pleasure.
It's a pleasure, Phil. I enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you so much. Now, before I wind this little segment up, because I do know you do love your music, do you have a favourite Australian singer or band maybe that I could play a song for you?
Yes, I love the Australian singers, and I can't go past a song that Slim Dusty wrote, and it was called The Ballad of Port Macquarie.
Yes.
And it brings tears to my eyes when I listen to it, because it includes the church and all sorts of things, and it's just a really lovely song about our region.
Absolutely fantastic. All right, my dear. Well, I'm going to put that up for you straight away, okay? I'm just getting it ready now. The song, listeners, that Janet has selected is The Ballad of Port Macquarie by Slim Dusty. Janet Hyde, thank you so much for your time, my dear. And we'll
chat. It's a pleasure, Bill, and good luck with what you do.
Thank you so much. Stick around, listeners, for that song by Slim Dusty, Ballad of Port Macquarie, and we'll be back with more of Roaming Oz straight after that.
on the beach with the sea billows rolling. There's a place in Australia to go, where the tall whispering pines bid you welcome, and the sunset is red with its glow. There's an old stone church on the hilltop, preserved now from past history. In this fair place they name Port Macquarie, where the Hastings flows into the sea. Oh yeah, that's right. The first settlers came here by sailboat, from old Sydney town came this way. Now the tourists, they come from all over, each year more are coming to stay. Where the sun shines so warm in the winter, and there's so many places to see. So just come and soak up the sunshine, where the Hastings flows into the sea. A few miles away to the westward is Wauchope, that old timber town. And the giant sawmills keep on turning as the logs from the mountains come down. And down to the south is Lake Cattai, as lovely a scene you could see, where the Christmas bells bloom in the summer on the road that leads down to the sea. Oh yeah, that's right. From the beach with the sea billows rolling, there's a place in Australia to go, where the tall whispering pines bid you welcome, and the sunset is red with its glow. There's an old stone church on the hilltop, preserved now from past history. In this fair place they named Port Macquarie, where the Hastings flows into the sea. In this fair place they named Port Macquarie, where the Hastings flows into the sea.
Oh, hello listeners, Phil C here. This is Roaming Oz and we are at Ricardo's. Now, I'm currently with Tony. You're the owner of the business.
That's
is that
correct.
Right, Tony?
That's correct.
Now, how are you going today, my friend?
Good.
Good, yeah. Good. How long have you had the Ricardo's?
Well, we started, it's nearly 20 years ago now, since
okay.
we started.
Yeah, right.
With the little honesty box.
An honesty box?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's free entry still, so you don't even need the honesty box.
No.
No, that's a good thing. Because people get to come here, kids, parents, families, seniors, and pick these incredible strawberries that you got.
Absolutely.
Now, tell us a bit about this strawberry, the way you've got it all set up undercover and the way it's watering and so on and so forth.
Yeah, well, they're all undercover.
Yes.
Which enables us to ripen fruit all year round.
Yeah.
But the great beauty of them is that they're up off the ground. They're on frame, so there's no bending.
Yep.
So people can go and pick at chest height, no bending.
Yep.
Great for the kids to pick down along the bottom, and grandma can pick up the top. So.
Okay. So who do you think gets the most fun, the kids picking or the grandparents seeing how much fun the kids are having?
Yeah,
picking?
Both. Yeah. Look, it's a lot of fun, and it's like going out in your back garden and picking some flowers or some fruit and veg. It's very, very satisfying, good for the soul.
Okay. So I guess being undercover too, the vegetables or the strawberries, they can grow all year round, and on rainy days, kids and parents can come here.
It's an all-weather activity. Everything's undercover.
Yep. Now, you've got a lot of parking here, which I want to make mention, because you get a lot of people travelling through with caravans and mobile homes. You've got a fairly large area to park, but they can also park out there on the road, can't they?
Yeah, we've got a wide road verge out there too.
Yeah.
So anyone with their RVs or extra long caravans, plenty of room.
Okay, not a problem. And you're just like about 10 minutes out of Port Macquarie, is that
That's
correct?
That's all.
Yep. So anybody that's staying in Port, this is just an ideal place to come to.
Absolutely. And Look, we have people just calling through off the highway. We have people, families meeting here, some coming from north, some coming from south. They say, yes, let's meet at Ricardo's.
Okay.
We have the locals, of course, but, you know, it's all about people driving along. Great place to stop for people just for a cup of coffee, lunch, yep, morning, afternoon tea.
Yep.
We're very well known for our scones here at Ricardo, so uh-huh, we're very proud of those, and okay, a very popular meal.
Well, I was going to say that, because even if you just want to come and have a look around, because it is free entry, you do have this great cafe, don't you? Cafe Red, where they could get a morning tea, afternoon tea, or a lunch.
Absolutely.
And you got some fabulous dishes that you serve up in there for the kids. You want to tell the kids a few of the things that you serve up? You got strawberry milkshakes.
Yeah, lots of things to do with strawberries, of course. Yeah. The strawberry smoothies and milkshakes and pancakes. And
yeah,
look, there's a great selection in there for everybody. And it's keenly priced, you know, good country fare.
Fantastic. And for anybody that wants to come for lunch, they can also bring a bottle of their own.
Oh, yes.
BYO, and there's no corkage.
Yeah, BYO, no corkage.
Which is fantastic for the seniors.
Absolutely.
Stop in here for lunch, even if they don't want to pick the strawberries, although it's an easy thing to do. As you said, there's no bending.
Yeah.
And they can also prepare some of their own things, because you've got other things here they could pack up and take away with them, couldn't you?
Well, we're very proud to say that nothing goes to waste on this farm.
Uh-huh.
Any strawberries or tomatoes not up to A grade go into a jar. So we've got about 25 or 30 different preserves in there, from jams and relishes and sauces and soups and passata and all sorts of things. So any second grade fruit goes into a jar. So that's become an important part of the business, and very popular with the customers, because we are highly awarded for those. We enter those in a lot of the fine food shows, and yes, we do have great success. So
yeah, well, I noticed that you've got over 30 award-winning jams, marmalades, relishes, pickles, and sauces, and you got the medals from the fine food shows from Sydney, Hobart, and Mudgee.
Yep.
So you must be doing something right, Anthony.
Yeah, no, it's good. Starting with good produce.
Now, also with your tomatoes, you're rated as best tomatoes in New South Wales and eastern Queensland. Now, that must make you feel really proud.
Yeah, well, over the years we've entered the tomatoes into the Sydney Royal, which takes in southeast Queensland as well. And
yep,
year after year we've been getting that prize, and so we're very proud of that.
Yes.
Good tomatoes.
And you've won it years and years, like from 2009, I think, was probably the first year.
Yeah, they haven't had the comps for a couple of years for obvious reasons. Yeah, we kept winning it year after year. We missed a few years just to give someone else a chance.
I was going to say that. I had a look, because you went from 2009, and I think you only missed one, till 2017. You had to give somebody else a bit of a crack at it.
No, there was a fellow that beat us, a fellow from down on the south coast. So
okay,
he beat us by a point. So
By a point.
Good on him.
And you beat him the year after and the year after and the year after that. Mate, now the other interesting thing to note too is, if anybody wants to actually do anything, they can do, like, in relation to the produce and so on and so forth, you can do mail orders, can't you? Like email and phone orders and stuff like that. Tell us a bit about that.
Oh, well, it's pretty straightforward. It's just that on the website we have a shop, and people leave and like the produce, they can just do a mail order, and we'll shoot it off to them.
Fantastic. So in order to do a mail order, that'd be via your Ricardo's, www.ricardos.com.
That's it, just on the website. There's a little shop in the website.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or they can just ring up and say...
They can ring if they like. We can do one over the phone.
Fantastic. Absolutely brilliant. Mate, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Oh, you're welcome.
That's absolutely great. And we've got a beautiful day here. All we need to do is get some tourists in here for you once this COVID sort of settles down.
Once it settles down, we'll be right.
And get things back to normal.
Yeah. We'll all get back to normal.
Now, I've got to play you a song. I should have asked you this right at the start of the segment. Anything Aussie? Have you got a favourite Aussie singer, a favourite Aussie band?
Oh, my favourite Aussie singer's Richard Clapton.
Ah, Richard Clapton. He's a great singer-songwriter. Yeah. And what would be your favourite?
Girls on the Avenue.
Girls on the Avenue.
That's my favourite Australian song.
They're going to get you in. It's a great song, Anthony. Yeah. Thank you so much for
your
time. Listeners, stick around for Tony's selection, Richard Clapton's Girls on the Avenue. We'll be back with more Roman Oz straight after this.
Girls on the Avenue, they're trying to get you in. Strolling by with a rosebud smile.
myself. Looking your way with eyes of fire. But don't you slip. Don't you slip in love with the girls on the avenue. Friday night, see the girls on the avenue. Like a child at big store windows, you feel confused. So many girls on the on the avenue, know how to get you in, casting out signs like tricks from a hat. All the Miss Lonely Hearts, ooh, they look awful hard, and sometimes they seem as fragile as glass. But don't you slip. Don't you slip in love with the girls on the avenue. Friday night, see the girls on the avenue. Like a child at big store windows, you feel confused. So many girls on the
Street Caravans have now moved to a brand new location. 11 Clayton Road, Heatherbrae is where you'll find them. Whether you're looking to sell, trade or upgrade, they'll look after you. Check out their range, Silver Valley, Hurricane, Paramount, Road Trip or their flagship Option RV. They won't be beaten on price, so get yourself a knockout deal today. They're open 6 days a week. Why not give them a call on 02-4987-5288 or check out their website, 7thstreetcaravans.com.au. Welcome back, listeners. This is Phil C, and the show is Roman Oz, and we've got Jeff Diath with us today. How are you, Jeff?
Fighting fit, Phil.
Fabulous. And how is check weight going? Thriving business, getting too much work on now, I'm imagining?
Check weight has been, the response is phenomenal at the moment. Mm-hmm. I think I mentioned to you before we had the caravan camping expo back in February where I met you.
Yep.
And the response from that was overwhelming, actually. We're really heavily booked and, helping a lot of people understand caravan weight. So fabulous. That's really good.
That's fabulous. I know I'm getting an education, that's for sure. And so are my listeners. I mean, last week we had Rod from Victoria who sent us that email all about should he tow his caravan with his water tanks full. And we touched on tow ball weights.
And today we're going to be talking all about tow ball weights, aren't we?
We are. Okay. And it sometimes is a little bit hard to get your head around the whole tow ball weight.
Okay.
So bear with us. Remember, there's lots of blogs and articles on our website, checkweight.com.au, that you can actually go and refer to as well.
Fabulous. Well, that's the place you need to go, listeners, okay? That's checkweight.com.au. Very important. Don't be listening to salespeople. Don't be listening to the so-called experts in the caravan parks. If you want the correct information, that's the place you need to go. And Jeff's the person you need to talk to. So, Jeff,
Thanks, Bill.
Hey, my pleasure, my friend. Now, Jeff, tell us all about tow ball weights.
Okay, so I suppose the first thing that I'd like to point out with tow ball is that it actually is really important, but it's always changing. It's not a constant.
Okay.
And I suppose, well, what's the importance? Well, really, it's the difference between you know having a stable caravan and a swaying caravan.
Right.
And, you know, so underlying is that if your tow ball weight is at the correct weight, then your caravan is more likely to be stable.
Right.
If it's too light, then the caravan is more likely to sway at a lower speed.
Okay.
So I can't tell you what that speed is, though. So, but as an example, if the caravan's nice and stable at 100 kilos and you've got the correct tow ball weight,
right,
and then it goes down, then it might be unstable at 100 k's.
Ah.
And if it gets too light, it might be unstable at 90 kilometres an hour.
Okay.
And I suppose that's one of the things that I get told all the time. Caravan, I've been, you know, I've done 10,000 Ks in the caravan, and all of a sudden it started swaying. And you go, well, what's changed? And, you know, I put a generator on the back. The water tanks were empty. And then I put a generator on the back, or we've put push bikes on the back of a caravan.
Mm.
So whenever you change the weight of the caravan, and it can be as simple as, you know, putting a carton of beer at the back or under the bed.
Okay.
You know, it can change the weight. Wow. So my wife, Jules, who helps me behind the scenes in the business, always says that loading and unloading a caravan is a team sport.
Right.
So, you know, if there's just, you know, if you're a couple, make sure that you're aware of what other people are doing. If you've got kids, make sure that the kids aren't throwing a heap of weight in on the back of the caravan or the front and you don't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it so important? So as I said, it's the means to an end. So we've got this connection where the tow ball hitches to the vehicle. And that's how, you know, the caravan gets towed behind.
Right.
So that weight of the tow ball, and I work on 10% of the GTM.
Mm-hmm.
We did acronyms a few weeks ago.
Yes.
So that's the gross trailer mass.
Right.
So your tow ball weight should be around 10% of the GTM, so the hitched weight.
Right.
So if your hitched weight is 2.5 tons, so 2,500 kilograms, then your tow ball weight should be around 250.
Okay.
You know, 240 is going to be fine, 260 is going to be fine.
Okay.
You know, five or six kilos are not going to make a difference.
Okay.
But 10 or 20 can start to make a difference.
Ah, okay.
Now, a lot of magazines and a lot of articles, they'll say, oh, yeah, 8 to 12% is sort of the range. And even in Europe, you know, they'll have 5% and 7%. And I see that on forums every now and then. People go, oh, you know, 7% in Europe, that's fine, so what's fine here?
Mm.
Well, guess what? We're not in Europe. The caravans are very, very different in Australia. Our roads are very, very different.
Yep.
You know, they're rougher. You know, we've got more potholes. And our vehicles are different. So I really don't like that comparison to Europe standard.
Yep.
So if we start off at 10% of GTM, then we've got a little bit of leeway either way.
Okay.
Okay, so I've mentioned if our tow ball weight is light, then the caravan may sway.
Right.
What if it's too heavy?
Okay.
Well, if your caravan tow ball weight is too heavy, it's actually adding weight to the vehicle.
Right.
And it's adding weight to the rear axle.
Okay.
So if you are right on the limit of your GVM, gross vehicle mass, and then you add a heap of weight to the caravan and add, say, 40 or 50 kilos to your tow ball, that's 50 kilos getting added to your vehicle.
Right.
So that's less payload in your vehicle.
Okay.
More importantly, and this one's a bit hard to get your head around, it's adding around 150% to your rear axle.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. So I've tested it a few times, and there is an engineering formula that you can work out the length between your rear axle and the tow ball.
Yes.
But generally, when I've tested it, it's anywhere between 140 and 160% of the tow ball weight gets added to your rear axle. So if you've got a tow ball weight of 250 and you add, that's adding 375 kilos.
Right.
To your rear axle.
Wow. Okay.
If your tow ball goes to 300, then it becomes 450 kilos on your rear axle.
Okay.
So it's a substantial increase.
Okay.
And when you add weight to your rear axle, you take it off the front.
Mm.
And that's why you get light steering, front wheel braking is affected.
Okay.
So that's why your tow ball, if you start off pretty close to that 10%, then as you travel around this, you know, great country of ours or the States or wherever you're allowed to go at the moment, you've got a little bit of variation.
Okay.
You know, you add some, you know, a carton of beer at the back, it's not going to matter.
Right.
You know, you use a bit of water, it's not going to matter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
It does. It does indeed. And this is why I think people should really make sure they know what they're doing, because I've met a chap in Tasmania who said he had 10 kilograms to play with, and he had a 200 series and a large caravan. I think it was a Jayco Silverline Outback, and he had 10 kilograms to play with. And his wife came back with a lump of human pine that she wanted him to turn into a coffee table top, and he nearly had a heart attack. It took two of them to put it in the car. So he was well and truly overweight because he was just way too close with his figures.
And I see a lot of people in that case, you know, like they're very similar, that are getting weighed before they do a lap or a half lap of Australia.
Yep.
And they're almost at their limit.
Yes.
And I thought, well, what are you going to collect? What else are you going to buy as you're traveling around?
Yep.
So you've got to make allowance for that.
Yep.
And, you know, your tow ball weight to me is probably one of the things that I actually see probably the worst.
Yep.
Very few people have correct tow ball weight.
Mm-hmm.
I go plus or minus 1%, so 9 to 11.
Yep.
So if you get weighed and you're, 8.9, you get across. If you're 9.2, you get a tick.
Yep.
But I still recommend that people get to that 10% as a starting point.
Yep.
Now, with tow ball weights, when we weigh a caravan at check weight, what we do is we then move weight around the caravan to show you how the tow ball is changed.
Yep.
And one of the things that blows people away is that I open the caravan door and they're watching, because I should probably explain first.
Yes.
Our tow ball weigher is not the super cheap or the little cylindrical one you buy from your car retailer.
Yep.
So, that costs $60. Ours cost about $1,800. It's digital, it's calibrated, and it's accurate to half a kilo.
Right.
Okay, so very, very sensitive. When a caravan's sitting just on the concrete and there's a bit of wind, our tow ball will change. It'll flicker.
Okay.
So what I do is I get the clients to watch the tow ball weight digital readout, and I open the caravan door.
Yes.
And it changes depending on which way the door goes, but if the door comes forward, it'll change the tow ball weight by about a kilo and a half to 2 kilos heavier.
Okay.
If the door goes back
and
you open the door, it'll change the tow ball weight by about a kilo and a half lighter.
Okay.
Because the weight of the door has transferred weight to the back of the caravan.
To the rear, yeah.
And that's really a sort of a wow moment for a lot of people. And they go, you only open the door and the tow ball weight has changed.
Yep.
Okay. Now, as I say to everybody, I'm not suggesting you drive down the road with the door open. but I just want to show them how sensitive it is to weight transfer.
For weight transfer,
And then I put weight around the caravan and show them the percentage that goes on the tow ball or the percentage that goes on the wheel.
Okay.
And then that way people can make good decisions because they've got good knowledge.
Yes.
the little Tobor waves that you buy from the retailers go in 10 kilo increments, and they're not particularly accurate.
No.
And I had a gentleman one day who said, oh, I know, I put a, it was on the phone, he said, I put a generator on the box and everything on the back, and it didn't make any difference. And I said, it would have made a big difference. And he said, no, no, he said, I had a Tobor layer, and I, he said, it was the same after I put the generator on the back.
Yep, yep.
And I said, did you wind it up and down? And he said, why? And I said, because these are spring-loaded things, so you can put weight at the back and it's not going to change. But if you wind it up and down, it probably then would have changed.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So then when I actually subsequently weighed him and I put weight at the back of the caravan on his generator box, I showed him that it took 50% of the weight off the tow ball.
Off the tow ball. So, wow.
Yeah.
50%.
So, yeah. And I must say here, every caravans are slightly different, although most are similar. And generally it can be anywhere between 40 and 60%.
Okay.
But generally, mostly about 50. So when he put the generator in the generator box, which all up weighed about 32 kilos off the top of my head, I think, from memory, that took 16 Ks off his tow ball.
Wow. Okay. And that's,
now it,
that's pretty critical, isn't it? 16 kilos.
Okay. If he was a few bit over, then it, you know, it's not as critical, but if he was under already, then that 16 kilos
off
could have mean the difference of him swaying or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it could have been that tipped him over. And I suppose, you know, I don't like people who put weight at the back to decrease your tow ball weight because it's making a seesaw worse.
Okay.
What we should be doing if our tow ball is heavy is moving weight back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from the front toolbox to under the bed or over the axle.
Okay.
To decrease the tow ball weight.
Rather than just hang everything off the back.
Yeah. So so you need to be really careful with your tow ball weight. I see on Facebook all the time somebody will comment, oh, we checked our tow ball weight before we left. Ours is good.
Yep.
It's changing all the time.
Yep. Yep.
So, yeah.
Well, listeners, I hope you're listening, and not just listening, but really absorbing, because the difference between having a happy holiday with no dramas and not could be the difference between placing a case of beer and a case of wine in the wrong position in your caravan or probably the back of your vehicle even, if it's going to make such a difference to your rear axle, if you're already skating on those areas.
Yeah, and I've actually fixed the tow ball weight, you know, when we've weighed them, and it's been a bit light, not overly light.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, go in the caravan and say, well, you know, your carton of water that you've put there at the back or carton of beer, and actually moved it to the under the bed.
Yep.
And then their tow ball weight is dead on 10%.
Wow.
So it can be that simple sometimes.
Okay.
You know, or, you know, maybe the caravan's a little bit light and they've got a lot of stuff in the back, like a generator in the generator box at the back, and and you know, it's poles and things like that. That can make a difference.
Okay.
I weighed a guy recently, brand new caravan. I'd weighed him before, and then he updated his caravan, so he got me back. And he'd put a pole carrier the day before on the back of the caravan because he thought his tow ball weight would be a bit heavy. We actually found it to be light. So while I was packing up, he took the pole carrier off, and then he had two jerry can holders that were at the back that he was never going to use, and he took those off. And it was funny, those jerry can holders, the two of them weighed 15 kilos.
Okay.
So those themselves were taking 7.5 kilos off the tow ball.
The tow ball weight.
So when he took the jerry can holders and the poles off, his tow ball weight was only a couple of kilos under then.
Okay.
So he was able to redistribute the weight to the front,
mm-hmm.
put the poles on the front, and get his tow ball weight correct.
Fabulous. Mm-hmm. And he wouldn't have probably figured that out without you and check weight. Or he could have figured it out at a much heavier price.
Absolutely. And I see that a lot where people make major changes to their van and then they get it weighed.
Yep.
And then they realize that they've made bad decisions.
Yes.
I always suggest getting it weighed by a mobile weigher. Get that accurate information.
Yep.
You know, a weighbridge, a public weighbridge, will give you certain information, which is valuable.
Yep.
But mobile weighers tend to give you a lot more pertinent information for your circumstance.
Definitely what we want. Fabulous chat with you, Jeff, as always. we're going to wind this one up now. What can I play for you this afternoon?
Oh, okay. Well, how about we go with Ginga Jing?
Yes.
And it's a song. It's called The Sound of Then, but this is Australia.
This is Australia. And it is Australia, and it's a great Australian song, and you're a great Australian yourself. Thank you so much for your time today, Jeff. Jeff Diaf, listeners from Checkweight, if you want to know anything about it, go to his website, checkweight.com.au. Thanks so much, Jeff.
Thanks, Phil. You have a great week. We'll talk to you next week. And in the meantime, travel safe.
Have you got a subject for next week?
Oh, yeah, we better do that.
We better do that.
Look, let's – we've sort of referred to, you know, compliance plates before, I think.
Yes.
Let's talk about compliance plates and how to get the right information off them.
Okay.
Yeah, it might be a little bit dry, but it's quite interesting.
Okay, let's do that. Compliance plates next week, folks, with Jeff Diaf from Checkweight, and we'll be back with more Roman Oz straight after Ginga Jing's Sounds of Then.
hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page, Spotify, or romanoz.com.au.
Tune in next week for more
Roman Oz.